I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. My name is David and today we're going to have a look at how my team got on in game week 10, what my plans are for game week 11, and have a look at some of the key stats and tables and tools from the Fantasy Football Scout members area that I use to fuel my decisions for any given game week. And with that in mind, of course, before we get started, a quick reminder to make sure you've sorted out your Fantasy Football Scout membership for that game week 11 deadline if you haven't done already. You can save 20% at the moment, and you just got to go to the website and find the package that is best for you and what you would like to get out of Fantasy Football Scout membership. And of course, with another deadline coming up, you may have some big decisions to mull over, not least perhaps the captaincy, deciding between Salah and Haaland. So definitely give that a consider if you haven't done so already. But as I said, let's have a look at what my team got up to in game week 10. I have to say, I sit here somewhat red in the face, not just because I got lots of freckles, but because I am highly embarrassed at how things went in game week 10, because I did not deserve a green arrow, as it turned out, but I got one anyway. The decisions that I made proved to be the wrong ones, at the very least in the short term. Only time will tell whether or not they will prove to be good decisions in the medium to long term. But at the moment, it hasn't got off to the best start in terms of those transfers that I made. Now, you'll remember from last week that I was looking at doing a mini wildcard. So that's three transfers made with the two free ones I had banked up for a -4. And so Botman to Shimikas was probably the most routine of those. But I was also looking at playing the fixtures and opportunistically doing Mbeumo and Son to get Saka and Mitoma. And in the end, what happened? I ended up transferring out about 23 points from my team because Mbeumo delivered big time against Chelsea. And of course, Son also got himself a goal against Crystal Palace. Both of them got double figure hauls. Saka got 6 points. Mitoma got 2. I did captain Saka, so that's actually up to 12 points. But however which way you look at it, I've transferred out a ton of points from my team. And the rest of the squad is what did the work. And that's what helped me get a 30k green arrow up to 72k. So mixed feelings recording this video, because I'm pleased with my rank right now. If anyone had offered me 72k after 10 game weeks at the start of the campaign, I absolutely would have snapped their hand off. There's a few people having a difficult season right now, so I can't complain too much about where I am. But it does feel a bit disingenuous to have managed to do that, transferring out so many points. Now, before we go into the nitty-gritty of sort of what happened with those transfers, how I'm feeling about them moving forward, just a little word on sort of like how I dealt emotionally with what happened with these particular point tools, because it can be very demoralizing if you transfer someone out and he delivers big. I can't have been the only one who sold in Burma this week. I know I wasn't the only one who sold Son. And the thing is, I could, if I wanted to, play a little bit of what if, you know, if I hadn't made those transfers, those two in particular, because I think Botman to Shimikas, as I said, was kind of routine work, really. If I hadn't done those two moves, you know, I could be calculating where I might be in terms of my rank. Maybe I'd be 30, 40k. But the problem is that achieves nothing. That achieves absolutely nothing to sort of bash myself over the head with what might have been and become sort of, you know, down in the doldrums about sort of, you know, doing some damage to my FPL team. Bottom line is, my team got a 30k green arrow, and even though I made some mistakes within that in the short term perhaps, and we'll assess those in just a second, I'm just telling myself, you know, good job for now, because you just got to keep yourself going. You just got to keep yourself going. There's no point letting, you know, what might have been ruin kind of how you sort of can calmly and objectively assess some decisions from the past and the future. So, yeah, I'm in good spirits about my team, even though I made some mistakes. But let's talk about those mistakes then for game week 10. What specifically went wrong? Well, with Son against Crystal Palace, I was kind of expecting and hoping for quite a tight game, and that's kind of what we got. Just two shots for Son in that particular game. Obviously, one of them ended up in the back of the net. But I did think that Palace did a very good job of limiting Spurs. It was one of it was a game where Spurs weren't quite at their free and fluid best, which I guess, and this kind of comes back around to sort of, you know, can I objectively review these decisions rather than just be frustrated and annoyed that I sold the 10-point haul of Son? And I think I can, because the way that the game went was very in line with what I was kind of expecting. And of course, a player of his quality playing up front always has the opportunity to get something. So, you know, I guess I knew the risks I was taking there. And, you know, comparing that with the Arsenal game, you know, Spurs were very much limited to what we normally see from them, but still won the game. However, Arsenal beat Sheffield United 5-0. And so if you just looked at those two scorelines and you weren't perhaps aware of, you know, which players were involved in the goals underneath it, you just saw those two headlines before the game, you know, you wouldn't be too surprised. And that's kind of what I anticipated. I actually had 4-0 for Arsenal in my Super 6. So that pesky fifth goal cost me a couple of points. But the point is that both games kind of went as I expected them to. So even though within that, the FPL points haven't quite gone my way, I'm still not unhappy with myself for the decision that I've made. And really, on this particular one, Son versus Saka, really the test will come after game week 12. Because as I said last time, you know, it was three Sons for game weeks 10, 11, 12, because I wasn't going to captain Son for any of those games, versus five Sakas for game weeks 10, 11, 12, because I would captain Saka in game week 10. I probably would also captain him in game week 12. And so I've really got to wait for that point in time before I can look back on this decision and work out whether or not it was right or wrong for my team. Quick word on Saka. Again, just a bit frustrating, really, because, you know, what we all expected from the game, you know, we were all making transfers for Arsenal players, expecting a big win. It's exactly what happened. Sheffield United barely turned up. Arsenal completely dominated the game. Somebody got a hat-trick, but it wasn't Bukayo Saka. It was Eddie Nketiah. I'm a little bit concerned about the fact that Saka had no shots in this game, created one chance. Of course, it ended up being an assist, a mildly contentious one, of course. So I'm a little bit nervous about what that means longer term, because for him to be so not involved in the attacking goal threat stats in a game against Sheffield United where Arsenal completely dominated does make me a bit nervous. But it's going to have to be a wait and see. And the Newcastle game is not going to be much help, because I would expect Arsenal's attack to be somewhat limited in that game anyway. But I suppose just comparing Saka back to Son, Son, of course, does face Chelsea. And we'll have a look in a few minutes at actually Chelsea's defence isn't as bad as perhaps we might assume it is. And that brings me on to the second of my mistakes this week, which was to do Mbeumo out for Mitoma in. And it obviously features Chelsea, because they lost 2-0 at home to Brentford, and it was that scoreline that led to Mbeumo getting a second double-digit haul in a row. Now, a double-digit haul against Burnley, always to be expected, to be honest. That's why I did hold him for game week 9, thinking that was going to be his last hurrah for me. But the Chelsea defence in this game, well, for large parts, Chelsea were on top. And the issue that they had, less their defensive problems and more the fact that they just couldn't put their chances away. And every single time that they weren't able to put their chances away, that, of course, allowed Brentford to soak up more and more pressure, take some strength from that, and find a little bit of bravery going forward to get the first goal. And then the second goal is really just a goal of circumstance. You know, Chelsea are chasing the game at home, a game they felt like they probably should have been getting at least a draw from, if not a win. So the goalkeeper goes up for the corner, and in effect, that's why Mbeumo got that final goal. So I feel like there's mitigating circumstances that led to that second goal and the size of the haul, which maybe might not necessarily always be the case. Now, I'm a little bit concerned because it's West Ham at home for Brentford next. But at the same time, you know, I'm not unhappy with having a Brighton player. And I just think that, again, it's a bit like the Saka versus Son thing. I just feel like the points potential for Mitoma over the next few weeks is going to be higher than the points potential for Brentford, because their fixtures get a little bit worse after West Ham. And Brighton are currently in a good fixture run. Admittedly, they weren't able to beat Fulham, but I just have to give Mitoma his best chance. He's had some good stats so far this year. And yeah, that's kind of my take on the decisions from last week. admittedly a mistake in the short term, might prove to be a mistake in the long term. Only time will tell. And for now, I have to be very grateful for the other players in my team that helped me get this green arrow. And one of them, of course, was Flecken. Really wasn't expecting a clean sheet there, so I'm quite happy that that has offset some of the mistakes in my team. Shimikas, 6 points as well. I think that's quite a standard one. Frustratingly, Spurs lost their clean sheet right at the end to a Pedro Porro error. Crystal Palace never really... I felt like the clean sheet was in the bank for Spurs for most of that game, and then just one mistake at the end, which actually ended up damaging me even more. A Spurs clean sheet would have meant more to my team than Son's bonus, because what happened is, with Spurs conceding that goal, it then meant that instead of the first goal, which was an own goal, being the winning goal, the goal that decided the game, it was of course then the second one. So then Son got some additional bonus for ending up having the winning goal by Spurs conceding, and that's what ended up hurting me a little bit more on that one. But as I said, are Spurs going to concede in the last few minutes of a game where they haven't looked like conceding? Again, probably not. So I'm very, very happy to keep Van de Ven, and we'll have a look at what I'm going to do with him in game week 11 in just a second. Cash obviously got me the 5 points. So whilst I was unlucky with Spurs, I was kind of lucky with Aston Villa, because Cash, he did get booked, yes, so he got 5 points, but he came off just before Luton got their goal. Then in terms of the rest of my midfield, then Maddison got me 6 points. So he keeps on delivering. He keeps on being what I think is a season keeper in many ways. Then we got Salah, 8 points. As I said, Matoma blanked, but 13 for Diaby. So really nice to see after a run of blanks. And I was quite nervous about not only Watkins in this one. I think Watkins' owners got very unlucky, underperformed his XG more than any other player in the game week. Diaby, however, didn't. This is one of the reasons why I was nervous not owning Watkins, but I felt like I had what I needed to mitigate against him if he did go big. With Cash and Diaby together, that's 18 points out of that game without having Watkins. So I can't be unhappy there. And then I got Haaland and Alvarez up front. So Haaland obviously got the big haul, and we'll talk about what I'm going to do with him in terms of the captaincy in a minute. And then the bench, Turner, Archer, Anderson and Estupiñán. Well, let's on the subject of Anderson, let's bring up my game week 11 team, because he obviously has to come back in. Crystal Palace are going to Burnley. Haven't really troubled many for XG so far this season, and Palace's defence is very good. Anderson got another assist. He's just so good at getting involved in the attacking returns for Palace, even though he's a centre-back. I still think he's the best Palace defender out there if you don't own one already, and you can afford him. If you can't, you might have to go for Gaye, but you definitely, if you can afford that extra, go and have a look at his contributions to attack, especially at set pieces. But he's got a fantastic pass on him, so he can always create chances from his centre-back berth, but also some threat from set pieces. And also the other thing is his bonus is always really, really good, because he's so heavily involved in that distribution and he's very good at it. Then, you know, he's always in line for bonus. So he's an easy swap in for Van de Ven for game week 11, who is, of course, playing Chelsea. So then the rest of my defence is Shimikas, Cash and Flecken. Aston Villa for Turner. So even though Brentford have a West Ham team who can score goals, I think, I just think that of the two, he's the better one. I'd rather not fix my goalkeeper problem yet. That might be something I do on my wild card. Then the midfield, Maddison, Diaby, Matoma, Saka. I just want to keep it the same. Haaland and Alvarez up front. And currently the captaincy is on Salah. So before we get onto the captaincy, basically what I want to do, surprise, surprise, is roll my transfer for game week 11. The only decision I might have with my starting 11 is what information we get out of De Zerbi on Estupiñán. I would love for him to be fit at some point, but it would be helpful if he's fit for next week rather than the one coming up, because then I've got a bit of a benching headache, because, you know, Shimikas away at Luton, yeah, that's nice. Anderson away at Burnley, also good. Cash away at Forest, another good fixture. It's his former club as well, the Poland international. So, all three defenders I want to start. I don't really like playing four at the back if I've got seven attackers that I like. So Estupiñán away at Everton is also, you know, quite appealing if he's fit. So we'll just have to see. But it'd be quite nice to still have him when he does eventually come back fit. Some people got rid of him. So I'm kind of waiting on him being my secret weapon from the bench. So yeah, let's move on to what I want to do about the captaincy, because at the moment I have it on Salah, because I feel like there's a possible opportunity here. But there's a couple of stats I always look into whenever I do the captaincy, so we'll have a look at those now. Well, first things first, of course, we've got the season ticker on the screen. The two fixtures for Liverpool and Man City are two of the most attractive fixtures for the game week. So Liverpool away at Luton, Man City at home to Bournemouth. And the reason why, if we just have a look at their defences, this is Bournemouth and Luton. They are, in the last four matches, the two most worst teams for defence on a number of stats. So the first thing is big chances conceded. So Bournemouth have allowed 15 big chances in the last four, Luton 14. So Bournemouth is the worst. Luton is the second worst, joint second worst with Sheffield United. And then from the XG, tells the same story. So Bournemouth are bottom of the league for that. XGC over the last four, 9.11. Luton, 8.33. They are the bottom two, respectively. I think the mitigating circumstances here, of course, always is who did they face in the last four. Last four sometimes can be a bit misleading if you don't look at who the teams have faced. So Bournemouth, bottom of the league for these stats, having faced Arsenal, tricky one admittedly, but then Everton away, Wolves at home, Burnley at home. Three teams there that haven't really troubled the XG creation charts this year. Luton, however, much harder run. They did start with Burnley in the last four, but then they've got Tottenham, Forest and Villa that they faced in the last four, and Spurs and Villa obviously a high XG chance creation, whereas you've got two nicer fixtures for Luton in that run, two harder fixtures for Luton, whereas Bournemouth had one hard one and three easier ones. And so from the fixture, I think Man City do just edge it at the moment. I will just clarify, Salah was who I put on the bus team. I'm still undecided because I think it's close between these two guys, but the numbers do show that Bournemouth is an easier fixture for Man City than Liverpool facing Luton away. So then let's have a look at how these guys have got on, Salah and Haaland, in terms of their own individual attacking stats. So Salah in the last four, 10 shots in the box, which is more than Haaland. So this is the top six or seven players in the Premier League for shots in the box over the last four: Watkins, Bowen, Calvert-Lewin, Callum Wilson, Darwin Nunez, Brian Aubameyang, who's back up there again after dropping out for some time, Salah, and then Solanke. Haaland not in the top seven. However, Haaland does outperform Salah for shots on target. So shots on target in the last four, Watkins and Wilson are the top two. And then you've got Nunez, Isak, Son, Haaland and Mateus Cunha at Wolves all on seven. And Bermo, McTominay and Eze all on six. So with Salah, it's five. Not far off Haaland, but basically what we're seeing is that Salah is more likely to have shots in the box, whereas Haaland is more likely to have shots on target. So I think that both players are in decent enough form. I mean, we can see that from our teams in many ways. Salah's had two double-digit hauls in the last three and obviously got 8 points in the most recent match. Haaland has struggled a bit. And of course, the absence of Rodri does contribute to two of the last four matches, perhaps pulling Haaland down to numbers that we're not used to seeing from him. But, you know, very much back to his best against Manchester United. So, yeah, that's the kind of the comparison between the two players. At the moment, the captaincy is on Salah, and it's actually less to do with any of the things I've just talked about. I think that when you look at the fact that both players are in good form, and you look at the fact that both of their fixtures are fantastic, you know, it is the two most obliging defences in the last four matches for both teams. It's possible that maybe what triggers your decision in the end is what you can do opportunistically in terms of FPL strategy. You know, Haaland is still in more teams than Salah. I expect Haaland to be the most captained player this week. I think his effective ownership is going to be quite large. However, unlike those who sold Haaland to get Salah, I do still have him. And so having him in my team, I could mitigate against anything he does. Those who captained Salah in the last few weeks have had some big rank gains out of it, because he is going to be, I think, a differential captain of sorts this week. Darwin Nunez is also being talked about in the conversation, but, you know, Salah's more reliable and, of course, is also the penalty taker as well. And so if Haaland gets a decent haul and I captain him, then that's probably just going to kind of hold the line for me. And then anything Salah gets is perhaps will probably still give me a green arrow, because he does help me most weeks, because not everybody has him still. However, if I go with Haaland, I might lose some ground, but can I gain even more ground than I lost? Perhaps maybe one step back, two steps forward by captaining Salah, who is owned by fewer people, captained by fewer people as well. If I think that the two players have a decent chance of scoring similar points, if there was a massive gap between the two players, I would go with the one who I felt had the much, much better chance of getting a big haul. But as things stand, I think they both do. And so the decision may, in the end, come down to just how brave I'm feeling on Saturday morning. And so I'm not ruling out captaining Salah. That's why when I looked at my bus team immediately after the deadline on Friday, first thing I did was to captain Salah. Admittedly, when I made that decision, it was before the Man United game. And what we'd seen out of Salah for the three matches before this weekend versus what we've seen from Haaland from the three matches before this weekend. You know, Salah was the clearer candidate. It is more difficult now, but I want to leave it on him for now so that I remind myself that I could maybe take a bit of a risk and go with Salah. But let's be honest, he's like the king of FBL of recent years, so there's worse people to go for a differential captain. And we'll just see how I'm feeling throughout the week. I'll try and let you guys know on social media where I am thinking with that one. So let's just finish off by having a look at some of the other wider numbers in the Premier League at the moment. And well, we'll start actually with the fixture ticker because, yeah, I always like to be aware of which teams I have on my radar for future transfers. Who are the teams with the best fixtures over the next six? Who are the teams that don't have quite so good fixtures over the next six? So at the moment, Brighton, Crystal Palace, Nottingham Forest, Wolves and Man United are top of the season ticker. One of the reasons why I kind of want to bank my transfer is that I'm not that interested in signing any players from any of those teams at the moment. And I always feel like if there's more opportunities to swing towards, you know, a different set of fixtures later on, rather save my transfers for that. So at the moment, I look at West Ham's fixtures from game week 12. They've got Brentford away in game week 11. But then in game week 12, they have Forest at home, Burnley away. Then you've got Palace and Spurs, which isn't nice. But then in game week 16, you've got Fulham away. So three nice fixtures from the five games that come after game week 12 for them. So it'd be quite nice to maybe restructure perhaps my midfield to perhaps get a Bowen or something. And then Crystal Palace, maybe from game week 12, I could get one of their attackers if maybe they can get some of them more fit. Everton, Luton, West Ham, Bournemouth, four games in a row there. So I need more information on them.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Really, so I've got my eye on them, really, but there's not too many teams that are sticking out like a sore thumb that I'm not invested in at the moment, which is another reason why I want to roll that transfer, and another reason why I also want to save the wild card as well. Still haven't used it yet. I don't really see my team as really needing it for game week 11. I can't really see myself needing it for game weeks 12 or 13 either, because the fixture changes, the fixture swings just aren't, you know, swingy enough to justify changing everybody. So one particular area of this fixture ticker that I'm thinking about is game week 16, because that's when we see Chelsea's fixtures all of a sudden go from being really horrible to being really nice. So I might want to have a Colwell and a Palmer, for example. Brentford's fixtures get much nicer from 14, so I could maybe get Mbeumo in on a free transfer in game week 14, and then maybe a Wiese or something to complement him from game week 16 when they face Sheffield United, for example. But that would involve probably a little bit of restructure as well. Of course, we've still got on the horizon, actually, in blank game week 18, blanks for Man City and Brentford, and I'm not ruling out using my wildcard in game week 19 so I can dead end my team into game week 18, save the free hit, use the wildcard in game week 19. That sets me up very nicely for the first half of the second half of the season, so that's sort of like January through to March. It's quite often an area where people struggle if they use their first wildcard in game weeks 4 to 6 and they want to save their second wildcard to get the best out of the chip season in sort of late March, early April, when we get to, you know, game weeks 31 onwards. Leaving your team having to rely only on free transfers from game week 6 to game week 31 can often lead to, you know, you perhaps maybe just not having the optimal team every week. However, I think if you go for a late wild card, it can help you perform really well in that period when other people are really struggling because they want to hold off on using that wild card. And in the past, we've seen some people get some really good finishes from playing a late wild card. Probably a bit of a broken record on this because I've been saying it all season, but it's just a bit of an update for you guys. Still look at my team and think, yeah, it doesn't need the wild card for now. And the season ticker is kind of telling me that there's not big enough opportunities where, you know, all change. Everybody get off the train, get a whole new set of people on a different train. That's just not what I'm thinking about. Let's move on to some other numbers. As I said, always go through some of these. So who's the best defences in the last four matches? So in terms of XGC in the last four, Arsenal, Man City, Tottenham and Newcastle are the top four. But Everton and Chelsea complete the top six. As I keep saying, I do think that Chelsea's defence is better than people give it credit for. I think they're going to limit the teams they face in the next couple of matches to not as many returns as we probably want from those facing them. But it also tells me that if in this difficult run they're still in the top six, by the time their fixtures turn around, I am going to want one of their defenders. Had a look at some goalkeepers recently. I think Robert Sanchez could be worth an investment because of his price. Could then rotate him with someone. Colwell, of course, is a good price as well. If Reece James and Ben Chilwell could get fit, that would also be great. But of course, you know, sort of relying on that. With Everton being in the top five, a couple of cheap options there. If at any point I need a new cheap defender or a new cheap goalkeeper, then I think Pickford's stock is coming back around. There's also Tarkowski to think about as well. So yeah, the good defensive numbers is worth thinking about. And those of you who have Gabriel, the fact that Arsenal's defence is still very, very good of late with their run of fixtures. Yeah, fine, it's Newcastle next, so probably bench your Gabriel, but don't sell him because you'd want to give him his best chance to start against Burnley in game week 12. I think that's going to be a nice clean sheet for the Gunners. We've already had a look at bad defences, so let's move on to return back to those who are having lots of shots. If you're frustrated with Watkins after the last game, you still hold him because I think he was very unfortunate. And what we can see here is that, yeah, nobody's had more shots in the box than him over the last four. As I've already mentioned, Bowen with West Ham's fixtures after the Brentford game looking very nice. If you've got him, then I would still hold him because he's at least trying. And if you haven't got him, then I think these numbers tell you you've got to have him on your radar. Callum Wilson also up here, which is also good to see with Newcastle. They've got Arsenal next, but then after that, their fixtures are much nicer. So Callum Wilson very much deserves to be on the radar. And yeah, Brian Aubameyang very much back where he belongs. It took Brentford a little while to, I think, work out how to play without Rico Henry. I think they've worked out how to get back to their best without him. And so in the last two matches especially, Aubameyang's numbers have been better. Before the Burnley game, there were three or four games where Aubameyang was really not as involved as we wanted him to be. It looks like, yeah, his stats are back where we need them to be, perhaps in line for reinvestment in game week 14. And then those who are accurate, most of the same names really, so Watkins, Wilson, very much up there, and Burmo as well. Eze in his last four, I like his numbers too. Not too many people have had more shots on target than him, but we just need him to be 100% fit. Hopefully it can coincide with those fixtures for Palace getting a little bit nicer. So yeah, they are the numbers that I'm looking at the moment. As I mentioned at the beginning, all of that comes from the Fantasy Football Scout members area. So if you want full access to be able to interact with that in its full interactivity without having to listen to me or watch these videos, then do make yourself aware of all the different packages you can have a look at. Find the one that's best for you on the Fantasy Football Scout website, and you can save up to 20% on those prices. But with that, I shall leave you fine folks to enjoy the rest of your prep for game week 11, and I shall see you next time. Bye.